Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with Repack. Does your business use the 3-bin system? Learn more about your legal recycling obligations at repack.ie.
Now, in the Green Scene this week, the ability of chimpanzees to solve problems. But first, how the separation of dogs into different breeds happened much farther back than we thought. We're joined by Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland. Hey, Ruth, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
I would have thought that Victorians would start to mess about and create different breeds.
Well, and it was. I mean, it was about 200 years ago that the whole idea of the kennel club became fashionable and different breeds got very tightly defined. And it was a bit, you know, as the Victorians liked, they liked to do selective breeding and create these really unusual range of dogs. But it is pretty incredible when you compare like a tiny little Chihuahua to a big St. Bernard.
And the most extraordinary thing is that every dog knows it's a dog and not a rat.
Of course it does. And we know that they all came from wolves. And this is new research that was published in Science, which is really trying to reach back into that complicated history about when humans started to coexist with wolves, when they became dogs, and when that amazing diversity in dogs really started to happen. And as you say, it is challenging this common perception that a lot of the diversity in dogs really only appeared in the last few hundred years. So these researchers, they did a huge amount of work, and there was Irish researchers involved as well. So they looked at over 600 skulls, ancient skulls, which span back over 50,000 years.
So they could carbon date them.
They were actually using the measurements. They were looking to see how the skulls changed over time by creating incredibly detailed sort of 3D maps of the skulls. And one of the things that happened as wolves became dogs was their jaws, their skulls got smaller, their snouts got shorter, because of course, if they were hanging around camps with humans and picking up food, they maybe didn't need those big jaws to go out and hunt as much. So this is one of the signs of a wolf becoming a dog. The snout becomes shorter and the skull gets smaller. So really what they were able to show that by around the middle of the Stone Age for humans, about 11,000 years ago, there was already a huge diversity in terms of what we would now call dogs, in terms of their skull sizes. So about 50% of the diversity that we associate with modern dog breeds already existed over 10,000 years ago.
And it helps to explain how dogs have particular characteristics like hunting dogs, dogs that are sight dogs rather than sniffer dogs, and all of that.
Exactly. And actually, when we look at the DNA evidence, which researchers have also looked at, and they look at human populations and the dogs that were with them around 10,000 years ago, they can see this coexistence of particular sort of types with humans. And that's exactly because of the reason that you said, you know, if you're a coastal population that might be using a dog to help you hunt a seal, or you're trying to track a weasel in a grass population, or you're using a dog for companionship, or to keep an eye on your camp at night.
And the fact that you're by and large feeding them, that they don't have to work for their food. I mean, well, they have to work for you to get their food.
Exactly.
But they don't have to go get it themselves.
It's a different relationship. And of course, one of the other things the researchers had to pinpoint is when exactly does a wolf become a dog? Because when you're looking back at ancient bones and you only have fragments of bones and they may be damaged, you know, that's also a real challenge. But because of the number of skulls that they could have, they could essentially say, well, this is an average wolf and this is a very extreme version of a wolf. Now, what falls outside of that range? And they kind of said, well, if you're different to that range in terms of having a shorter snout, a smaller skull, you're probably a dog.
And therefore, some dogs are closer to the wolf. You know, a husky dog might be.
Of course, they still are.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we do still see, I mean, exactly a German shepherd. It's not that surprising. But I think what's fascinating, I mean, one, to see the amount of diversity that the Victorians did create, you know, from the Victorians to now in 200 years. But really, they were sort of putting the icing on the cake.
Yeah.
A lot of the raw material was already there and it had developed with humans over thousands of years.
Now, the other thing is, how clever are chimps? Very clever, it seems.
Well, and that's not a surprise, but this is really evidence that looks at a new facet of intelligence, which is really the ability to assess evidence and then make a rational decision, which hopefully most of us have. Mm. And this was an experiment that was done in the Ingamba Island Chimpanzee Sanctuary in Uganda. And there's about 50 chimps there, but about 20 of them enjoy taking part in experiments and took part in this one. So essentially, this is about picking food out of a box. And the chimps were shown evidence that there might be food in a box. And then they were asked to make decisions about which box to pick. But it wasn't that simple, because sometimes they would be shown a box where there was relatively weak evidence that there was food inside, like there might be a sound if the box was moved. Or they might be shown a box with strong evidence, like there was a little glass window and they could see an apple through the box. So they would be given options. They would be shown one box and then asked, do you want to choose this box? And then they might be shown another box and say, do you want to stick with your first box or do you want to change your mind? And based on sort of the objective strength of the evidence, the chimps were very, very good at changing their mind.
And things like if, for example, you had a box with no window, but then, or maybe a sliding cover on the window, and you open the window and then suddenly they saw, instead of box number three, we'll go for box number two.
Exactly.
I've seen an apple.
Exactly. But not only that, the experiments got much more complicated, because you could argue that's quite easy. If I can see the apple, that's pretty definitive. I'm going to pick that box. But the researchers also challenged their evidence. Previously, if they opened a box, they heard a sound, there was an apple. But then they might show them, well, we've shaken this box, but if we open it, it's only a pebble inside. So next time, do you want to stick with that decision? Is your belief in the strength of that evidence, has it changed? If we show you that what you thought was an apple was just a picture of an apple, do you still believe that is the strongest piece of evidence to pick that box? So the researchers went through a whole series of experiments showing the chimps one or two and three boxes and challenging their assumptions and then getting them to choose. And the chimps nearly essentially always used the rational path. They were able to weigh up evidence. They didn't just say, well, that was the last piece of evidence I heard. They could step back like a jury and assess the validity of everything that they had heard. And they did it pretty easily. So that shows us, you know, this is an inherent belief in us. I mean, sometimes our own ability to assess evidence is skewed by what we think people want us to believe and by the social cues around us. That doesn't seem to happen so much in chimps. So maybe that's a lesson for us this morning.
Clever chimps, clever chimps. Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland. Thank you very much.
Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with Repack. Does your business use the three bin system? Learn more about your legal recycling obligations at repack.ie.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.